Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We have back on with us today James Cronenberger, advocate and organizer with Ohio Cure. And James is going to be talking about his upcoming holiday activities with the group and also much more. So we're going to, without further ado, welcome James Cronenberger. James, are you on with us?
Yes, I am.
I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate your coming on and telling us a little bit about yourself and what your plans are for the holiday. I know you had mentioned something about the holiday cards. So if you can let the audience know something about yourself and what your upcoming plans are for the holidays.
Sure. I was incarcerated. I got out January 24, 2010. Within 2 months, I became the president of Ohio Cure. Then I ended up being the president of In the Name of Justice, then the founder of Fair Treatment Reform and Reentry and Change Center, that's Ohio. I always had compassion for those incarcerated. And that's one reason why this Saturday is our fifth year on doing a Christmas card project. I understand most institutions make copies of the cards, but the guys and the women love to get something in their hand. So the cards are very important. We have about 200 people so far, and if anybody is interested in giving us names of their loved ones, they can email me at ohiocure@gmail.com. But I'm really excited. Usually four ladies come every year, but this year we have over 100 people, and I really don't wish that they all show up since it's in my house. So
tell us a little bit about the cards. I mean, how do you make them yourself, or do you how does that work?
No, we buy the cards, and every year so far we've made, I mean, people donated plenty of stamps for us. And they also donated cards. Like, I picked up 5 boxes. Somebody else picked up 5. I mean, we just had people get boxes. Then I had about 10 boxes from last year still. So we try and mix up the cards because we know not everybody's a Christian in there. You got other faiths. And they don't care about getting a card. They're just thankful that somebody thought about them. I have a lot of Islamic friends, and they just appreciate getting something in the mail.
Yeah.
It's really lonely. You know,
it's
the
very
most
nice
of the suicide trip in the prison is during Christmas, New Year's, and
you know,
so.
James, I often speak about that too.
Yeah.
I often speak about that around the holidays, how a lot of these incarcerated individuals become so depressed because they can't be with family. So,
right.
I think it's a beautiful gesture to send the cards. Now, tell me, is this national or is it just in Ohio?
Well, we have quite a few people out of state that we'll send the cards to. And I don't mind doing that as long as we got enough cards and stamps. I think we got like 25 out of state so far that people gave us their names. And they deserve cards. I'm going to give some of the prisoners' names and addresses to several other people also to send them a card. You know, so if anybody would like to get some names and numbers to send cards out, that would be really awesome.
Okay, and again, can you give the audience information as to how they can help, maybe to donate or maybe to, you know, volunteer to send cards as well? If you can just give them contact information again.
Yeah. If they would like to donate money towards the car, you know, for stamps or mail stamps to us, which is just as good, I give Cash App, which is, I should have it memorized. I'm going to set one up for Ohio Cure. I just haven't gotten to. But it's $@JamesCronen, K-R-O-N-E-N. And I think that one book of stamps is like $13 or something. I just went up yesterday and bought 3, and it came to like $40-some, three packs. And then we've had cards mailed into us, and if they're like mailed into us, They can at 1141 Oakwood Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, 43206. And okay. We'll put it to use because, I mean, we're going to try this year. It's going to be the first year we're going to try to send out birthday cards to those that we know that birthdays are coming up. And, you know, we just want, you know, them to know that there's people that care and thinking about them besides just advocating.
I know stamps recently went up, and I know how expensive it is to send, you know, to buy stamps. So if anyone wants to volunteer stamps or even, like I say, cards, that would be nice. We need to, with the coronavirus, the last few years with the coronavirus, so many things have happened, and so many people are out there, you know, incarcerated in their cells, very little time out, and the time out that they do have is very limited. We, in the outside world, we know how frustrating it was during this virus to be stuck inside and not be able to go out. So these cards would really give them some real, you know, encouragement.
Right. And on Christmas Day, I get I get around 20 calls a day, mostly from prisoners' wives or girls crying that they miss their boyfriend, husband. And I listen to them because that's very important to them, and they're hurting.
Yeah.
You know, my heart goes out to these, you know, the incarcerated nationwide.
You know, so many people forget, you know, once a person is charged with the crime, people forget, you know, that they're paying their dues by being sentenced to prison for whatever time they get. And it's terrible that people still continue to judge even after they are inside, even after they come out. People don't really know the true story behind any situation, and they stereotype all prisons.
Can we talk a little bit about judging and forgiveness? If we may, I tell you, when a person gets released from prison, that should be the end of their sentence. I don't care what the guy did, you know, because I have a lifetime worth of punishment. You know, even the closest friends that I let stay with me turned on me, you know, and it gets stressful where it affects the person's health. I'm asking people to, you know, accept people for who they are. And if you're an advocate, you're not an advocate if you sit there and judge people, because
exactly.
You make a commitment. Yeah, you make a commitment, you're going to help people, build people up, maybe find housing or whatever your organization does. But it's not there to post their case all over Facebook or making websites, you know. And, you know, we as society, if we don't forgive others in the Lord's Prayer, it says God will not forgive you. Yeah, so that's something to remember. And then you could go to John 1:9, which says, you know, that he will forgive us no matter what. And so,
you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I want to let people know, first of all, we have in this country an epidemic of mental illnesses and addiction. And people, when they go in whatever their situation is, whatever the offense was or is, people have to realize that when someone goes to prison, advocates especially are supposed to be understanding. These people go into prison, they come out of prison, they have a problem finding because of quarries, they have a problem finding jobs because of people that judge. They, you know, when an advocate or when advocates turn against someone, after the person comes out of prison, or even while they're in prison, they don't deserve to be advocates. We have a system, a court system, where there's corrupt judges and prosecutors that will take a story and blow it way out of proportion. We have a system where prosecutors will lie, they'll tamper with evidence to make somebody look either guilty when they're not or worse than they are when they're not. And this is
right.
Advocates should understand these things. Advocates of all people should understand. But also, people who have loved ones inside, no matter how small or how big their loved ones' offenses are, They should not judge someone else because someone else committed a more serious crime. A crime is a crime. And this is one of the things that I wanted to bring out. So I'm glad you brought that, you mentioned what you did a little while ago, because these things have to be discussed and talked about. People have to be able to forgive. As you said in the Bible, it says, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Again, I'm going to say this. Moses was a murderer. King David was a murderer. Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, was a murderer. Of many Christians, and yet all three of them, and I'm sure there have been more throughout history, because the Bible has been condensed to fit in your hand. But it said in the Bible that if everything that Jesus the Christ did when he was in this world, the world could not contain it. So people have to realize there is forgiveness. Throughout history, there's forgiveness of sin. We are sinners ourselves. God forgave us when Jesus went on that cross. So people, I want everybody to realize that. I'm going to go back to your activities, your events, because what you're doing is something that you're not judging others inside who may have committed a worse offense than even you did. But what you're doing is you're thinking about them around the holiday, and you're trying to make their holiday a little bit more livable.
I would like to make this clear. That doesn't mean that I think every single person should get out of prison when they go to the parole board. But I tell you, they should have a fair opportunity, you know, to prove their change.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, but yeah, the Christmas card project is real big. Then if I can share about a conference we're going to have in May, it's kind of different than any conference that we've had before. We're bringing convicted felons, some victims, and the city together, crime, you know, with the help of people that was incarcerated, to educate our young generation. I'm getting criticized for that because they said that, you know, I'm pro-police. Well, you know, we understand that there's a lot of bad cops, but there's still a few good ones. And we as advocates, you need to realize that.
I think what happens is people, they judge all police officers and they judge all correctional officers and all prison officials, because there are a lot of good ones, but the good ones are not exposing their own peers that they know are harming others. And this is where it comes in. You know, I have a loved one that's a police officer, and he would argue the point that only 1% of law enforcement was bad. That's not true. There's more than 1%. And as a matter of fact, I would say there's at least 25% of 100%. But the thing is, don't minimize something that is serious. People are dying at the hands of law enforcement. They're dying at the hands of officials and COs. But there are, as you say, there's a lot of good ones too. I just encourage them to come forward, as Donald J. Vodica did. A 14-year veteran with one of the biggest prisons in California. He exposed his peers. You know, Michael Johnson, a lieutenant with the Montana Department of Corrections. I mean, these people have since left the DOC, but they're talking about the treatment, the inappropriate treatment that goes on behind those prison walls.
I have three correctional officers on my Facebook page with fake accounts that kind of fills me on what's going on in the prison, what's unfair, because, you know, they can't be noticed because they don't want to lose their jobs or you know, people harassing them. But they keep me pretty well informed, and they're very accurate. You know, so I really appreciate people coming, going the extra mile to help those that they watch.
I want to say one thing too, James, and I'm not going to mention her name, because she did work for the Ohio Department of Corrections. But this was a woman that was a psychiatric nurse. And she got along really good with a lot of the guards until she started seeing some of the abuses that were going on inside by other guards. And when she spoke out, the ones that were friends with her backed away. So these are the kind of things, instead of having the courage that this woman had, these are male staff. Cowards, as far as I'm concerned, to turn against the woman because she was being honest and outspoken, to side with the corrupt ones.
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about, but
it's terrible.
You know, There was half.
It's terrible.
There was another nurse at another institution that, had the same situation, and they set her up, and she got fired.
It's a shame that they do this.
Right.
When a woman shows that kind of courage, and male people in uniforms are cowards that they can't do it because they don't want to look bad to their peers, to their friends. But if they were the ones to go to prison, I'm sure those same people that they're protecting would be turning their backs because they wouldn't want anything to do with it.
Right. As corruption in every state when it comes to the judicial system and the prison system, and I have not found a prison system that is a good one yet.
No.
Yeah, at least the way it's run. They have some good people that work. Yeah.
Not in this country, anyway.
Right, and the work, even after I'm gone from this world, the work needs to continue.
Exactly.
That's why I thought one person was taken over, and then I'm not going to get into that story. But we need people to take over. For the older people, we need the younger generation. Our keynote speaker at our conference is an 18-year-old college student who has ambitions to run for political office. I asked him what party he going to be. He said he hasn't decided. He's going to look at the issues on both because there's some issues that he agrees on both. And that I respect on him. He's not going to automatically be a Democrat or Republican. He's going to look at the issue. And I think he's a person that we need behind us.
What I'd like to see happen this holiday is that people look at other countries. They look at other countries who do not have life and life without parole, other countries who do not abuse the way that the abuse goes on in the United States. More humane conditions, housing conditions, more humane educational and work programs. I hope that people in this country will finally get the idea as other countries to be more humane, because this country talks about the injustices and inhumanity in other countries when this country is worse than any of them. And I'm hoping that through the holidays, people will start to see that, especially in the work you're doing right now.
Yeah, look at Costa Rica. They don't even have fences around their prisons. The guards play cards with the guys and women. They get to go home on weekends, and their recidivism rate is at 1%. All of Europe, there's only one country that executes itself, and I can't remember that country. I know it starts with the letter M, and it's a real tiny country, but that's the only country in all of Europe that executes.
Well, in this country, there's more than one state that executes. And that's another thing that people need to start reconsidering, is to abolish the death row penalty as well as life and life without parole.
Yeah,
unless they're terrorists in Ohio, but
myself and Shiloh Rafferty is going to be working on life without parole, and I'm hoping someday you can get her on your show. She's got a husband that is totally innocent of his crime, and people like that need to really, get their stories out, because not too many people can really help out. We could promote, but you need attorneys that will help them.
I just posted something about Christopher Dunn. Christopher Dunn is an innocent prisoner, wrongfully convicted out of Missouri. And a judge actually 33 years ago, a judge said he was innocent. And yet this young man is still incarcerated. He's still in prison. And I'd like to know what that's all about. But, again, this is a person of color, but I'm sure there's others of that are Caucasian and other races, that are also victims of a corrupt system.
Right. Right. It's to get all the activists on one page. Black, white, it shouldn't be anything to do with race, and it shouldn't do anything with somebody's past, but get everybody on the same page to really fight, we would be powerful.
Exactly.
Right now, it's really for the most part, it's weak advocates because we can't get people to join forces.
You know, they talk about as you say, we'll go to race for a minute. We'll talk about the races.
Right.
And as you say, if everybody comes together, regardless of the race, regardless of the culture, regardless of the gender, if everybody came together, but then again, you have
right.
to realize too, even people in political areas and people of that are influential, I don't care if they're of color or not, they don't even advocate in many cases for their own. You know, once they
right.
start, the money becomes a big issue, and then all of a sudden they say, you know, this culture here of, okay, Black Lives Matter, NAACP, L Shock, the National Acronym, all of these, I don't see them doing anything for the incarcerated. I don't care if they're white, black, brown, red, or beige. You know, they're not doing anything. And if they are,
right.
it's for their own friends, not their own race, but their own peers,
right.
the ones that they are friends with.
Yeah. I no longer can protest, but protest, all that does is bring out awareness. But if you only get 5 people at a protest, it's not going to help. You need to get 100, 200, 300. You need to be able to join forces. And you can't tell me in each state there is not hundreds of people that care about the same cause as you have, because there is.
People don't even have to protest. All they need to do is sit at their phone in masses throughout the country and start making calls
yes.
to the media, start making calls to legislative members, start making calls to their governors. You know, that's all it takes. People are so lazy, and I hate to say it, but people are so lazy, they can't even make calls. They don't even want to do the research to find out who in their Democratic or Republican Party are for or against criminal justice reform. You know, it takes a little bit of work. It takes maybe an hour out of their day to do a little research, find out who they can call, write, email, or whatever. But they don't do that. I started that petition to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities, whether it be mental health or whether it be addiction or anger management, whatever. And there's not even 700 signatures. And we have 2.3 million incarcerated in prisons and jails and houses of corrections all over the country. People are just not with it. And they want to judge rather than sit at a virtual meeting rather than try to work with advocates. They want to judge like they're God. And that's why
right.
we have a serious problem in the United States, mass incarceration, because people either think they're too good to be able to understand what causes a person to stumble, or they're too lazy that they don't want to get involved. They don't want to do anything but judge. Maybe if the Christ Jesus felt the way they do, maybe we have to realize this world is coming to its end. We see it all around us in what's going on right now. We don't have much time to get it together. So people need to start getting it together. They need to start getting into those scriptures in Revelation 12, you know, in 2 Timothy 3, in 2 Peter 3. And they need to start looking at the things, the signs that they're giving us. They need
right.
to look.
Also read the full gospel.
He told Noah the next time destruction, it would not be by flood, it would be by fire. We are at our hottest peak in this country and around the world. The earth is at its hottest peak. We got the nuclear weapons in all these countries. We've also got all these nations coming together for that great day, the Armageddon. People need to get it together. And that's why I say these people who have sat and talked about prisoners, those who have stereotyped prisoners, those who have judged prisoners, those who complain all the time that haven't done anything to do any research to find out about the incarcerated, to find out how they can help. They're just out there running their mouths. And I have to say this because it's frustrating. When I interview people from other countries, more humane, talking about the injustices in this country. And I'll tell you, Franz Kirsch from Germany has been advocating for 2 incarcerated, wrongfully convicted inmates in your state, the state of Ohio. Another one, Jan Banning from the Netherlands, has been advocating for this female prisoner who was wrongfully convicted and still in prison in Georgia. Madeline Colburn advocating for these 2 wrongfully convicted women in Missouri, and she's a chaplain at the prison, but she's also a long-term advocate. We have everybody that doesn't need to be advocating for this country when, in fact, the people of this country are too lazy to get involved or think they're too righteous to understand. People are victims in prison as well as on the outside. They don't seem to realize that. They talk about the victims on the outside, which I truly, truly sympathize with. But they forget there's a lot of people in prison who were once victims who no longer could cope, who ended up trying to make a decision between suicide or homicide. Instead of the prisons rehabilitating like they should, the Department of Corrections across the country are making money on prisoners. Corporations are investing in prison. Rehabilitation is not taking place in prison. And it's people like yourself on the outside that are trying to do good. It's prisoners on the inside that have to start their own nonprofits or come together in some way to make their own rehabilitative activities. Selling poetry, writing books. These are people who are rehabilitating themselves while the Department of Corrections around the country are getting all this money in their budget to what? Fatten themselves up at the dinner table while the prisoners are being talked about, taking advantage of the taxpayers' dollar by eating good. They need to know about the food that the prisoners are eating. When I see these things coming through to me, people saying and showing me pictures of the maggots in their food, people need to get it together.
That's what they found at Ohio for Women several years ago. They found cockroaches all over the kitchen, you know, and they're blaming the prisoners. And no, they're blaming the staff because it was in the sewer. But they found out there's a bunch of food that was behind some of the counters, you know. So nobody knows whose fault it was, but it was all over there. And when I went over there to speak to the lifers, I asked the warden, I said, can I taste the food here? And boy, she cussed me out and told me to leave the prison. You know, because I just wanted to see what they're eating because I heard it was slop.
They don't want the media in there. They don't want people in there because they know when the media gets in there, the media will be reporting truth. And right now the media is reporting what they're telling them. The media reports what law enforcement tell them. The media reports from everybody but the person that's being accused. That's why they don't have the media. And the media should demand to be able to go in and meet with prisoners. And there's a woman, she's in one of the Facebook groups that said her husband worked in the kitchen of the prison. And he was the one that told her and sent pictures of the maggots that was in the food, saying that the food was left out during the day. Flies all over the place.
That's you know, we got that problem not just in one state. It's probably nationally.
Exactly.
So, you know, but you know, that's why we just need to come together and start making these calls, like you said, to legislators, send emails out. I would say send both out to the same person.
If we pick one week in say February of 2023, and everyone just sat at that phone making phone calls, you know, when we campaign for politicians, we do the phone campaign. I remember going to Massachusetts, going to a politician's home with others. They had the coffee there, they had the donuts there, they had the pastry, they had that you brought your own phone. And everybody made calls from that home to all the constituents and talked about the campaign. It was beautiful and it was enjoyable. And if people were to do that today with all these things going on in the prisons, and they were to contact legislative members, they were to contact the media, they were to contact anybody it takes, for one week, we would change.
That's true, but that's where we have to come in together, you know, and be able to agree on each state is different, so that state would have to, they would like a change in that state. Don't give them 10 different things. Give them one or two major things that need to be changed. And you don't have to be a perfect speaker. You're probably going to end up leaving a voicemail, but call 10 times, but, you know, just keep bugging them out of that. I would say we might do it like a week in February, like you suggested, you know, and, you know, just
you know, bug them until something happens.
Exactly. And as you say, one
now,
of the things, a lot of the prisoners right now are asking for everybody to focus on getting their voting rights back. Because they said if their voting rights are given back to them, restored, then they can vote for the people that are actually trying to make positive changes in the justice system. Voting rights is the major issue. Then you have abolishing life and life without parole. And some states, including federal, although they don't make the decision, the president is going to be pardoning, I'm sure, as the governor recently of Massachusetts pardoned this family that had a daycare where the kids were being abused. But the two main focuses right now is the Families Against Mandatory Minimums, as they're saying. Get rid of this life and life without parole. Maximum 25 years. You know, voting rights. Those are the two major issues that I hear about all the time. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the voting rights, I'll be honest, maybe it's kind of wrong, but that's one thing right now I don't care about because there's so many people that should have been out regardless. And that's what our focus needs to be in Ohio. Certain people try to get the voting rights, and then the legislation's not going to listen to that right now. You know, so work on, you know, one or two important issues that you need to change in that state and get people behind you and make those calls, emails. If you got to have a protest with their names on it, do so. Contact the media. Do interviews.
Families Against Mandatory Minimums had sent out a notice. It's on their page, too, on their website. Families Against Mandatory Minimums is encouraging everyone to start talking to their legislative members in their state and encouraging legislative members to start going into the prisons and meeting with the incarcerated because they're talking about criminal justice reform, but yet they don't have a clue about a lot of these things because they don't even go into the prisons to meet with the prisoners to find out what the problems are. And that's a major problem. I give Families Against Mandatory Minimums. FAM is an awesome. CURE is another one, Citizens United for Rehabilitative Errands, which you're a part of. You're an organizer. Those are two major organizations that I highly respect because you are all trying to make positive changes.
That's very true. There was something I was going to say, and now I can remember. Ever since my stroke, my memory is kind of off.
I understand.
But, I mean, I'll come to it eventually. You know, but there's a lot of work that people can do, but they have to have the ambition. I don't care if you're 80 years old. If you're able to make a phone call and you can't leave the house, that's fine. Make a phone call. Send an email if you use the computer. If not, just make a call. Write a letter if you want. But we need to flood that person, just like you said. We need to flood the offices and bug them until they will listen.
Exactly. They may save a life. I'll tell you, they may save a life because too many lives are being wasted. You know, too many lives are being damaged psychologically, medically, and spiritually. And it's sad.
Right.
Especially around the holidays. You know, they talk about bone marrow. This is another thing that in Massachusetts that was brought up, that they're talking about the donation of bone marrow from the incarcerated, you know, and it would allow them to be get an earlier sentence to be released. What I'm finding out, though, is what they're doing is they're going to the lifers. They're doing surgery on people serving late, long-term and life sentences. And they are purposely, intentionally removing bones from their body. There are people who have been permanently damaged.
Wow.
And they're talking about donation of bone marrow. If that bill goes through, there's going to be a lot of incarcerated individuals, and it will probably spread throughout the other states. A lot of innocent people behind those prison walls serving their sentence that are going to be damaged permanently.
Yeah, that look what they do in China. They take out organs from living prisoners to give to other people.
That's where the United States is. You know, the United States isn't taking examples from people like Europe and other places where they don't have life sentences, but they'll take examples from places like China that are taking organs and taking their bones and all this. If the United States people, if this government is to take examples of those in other countries trying to make the United States better, it would be a very positive change.
I wouldn't be surprised I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing that in Ohio, because if Massachusetts passes a law, I guarantee other states will too.
That's it. And Massachusetts is passing a negative law when they come out with that.
Right. You know, they're not giving proper medical care, but, you know, they do more damage to a person than they will help them.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through chemo when I was locked up, and they missed several different ones because they didn't have transportation to take me.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we need to promote your show on a regular basis, because the stuff you have on your show, people need to hear it. I mean, if we could get thousands and thousands of listeners, I guarantee people would be doing more stuff for their community, their state, and their nation. And if you say you hate America, move out.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I hate America, and I'm staying right where I was born and raised. Unfortunately, it's not the people I hate, not so much
the
all the people. But it's the government itself when they could put such harsh sentences on people that have committed an offense instead of getting the treatment that they need to help better.
Yeah, I did a YouTube, you know, about what you were just talking about. I can't remember what we were talking about. I just did a YouTube about. People are saying Russian people are bad or Chinese people are bad. It's not the people. It's the government.
Yes.
We can't judge everybody because of the way the government is. You know, if you really don't like America, I'm not talking about you. Go to some of these other countries where it's dictatorship, which America is getting to be. Go to some of these other countries where they'll kill you if you don't vote for them. You know, and go to China where they take 200-300 women or men out at a time and shoot them in the back of the head.
You know, the thing is negotiation. That's what we need to do, try to negotiate with these enemies that they call enemies. I in my family, my youngest sister married English. The next one married Spanish. The next one married African American and Indian. The next one married Chinese. The next one married Italian and later Irish. Another one, my mother was Lebanese. My father was was African American. My brother married Portuguese. My aunt, my godmother, Frances Broadwick from Peterborough, New Hampshire, was Irish. She was my godmother.
Right.
She married my uncle. So in my family, they used to call us the United Nations, the League of Nations. So if we can get along as a family of different cultures and different races, then I don't see why we cannot in the United States and other countries get along. But again, in the United States, we have representatives of every country in the entire world. We should be so proud. But instead, we have racism in this country. We have hatred. We have vengeance. We have retaliation. We have people that want to have power and fame and money and greed and all these things. This is a sick, dysfunctional country that thinks it's so righteous. And people in it can judge the incarcerated population, thinking that they are righteous because they're not in prison. I guarantee they have a friend or a family member or somebody that they know that has either been in prison before or served in prison, or people that have money and have gotten away with it.
Right. Yeah. Our country has fallen so far away from God. Our forefathers did the Constitution, you know, in God we trust, you know, and they even taken the word God out of everything that they're doing.
They took it out of the schools, but they didn't take it off the dollar bill. They didn't take it off the $50 bill, the $100 bill. See, that's where their minds are. In this country, that's where the minds are on the money. They should not even have anything to do with God on money, because the money is the root of all evil. Other countries have all kinds of money, but you don't see them with the dollar bill. They don't have God on the dollar bill. But put the prayers back in the schools. Put the prayers in the hospitals,
or
wherever.
But you should not, you know, they had a girl that led a prayer up at one of these high schools. They expelled her for the next school year. You know, because they said it was a crime.
I believe in different faiths, because actually, as I always say, when Hagar was and her son Ishmael was thrown out of the camp with Abraham and his wife Sarah, Hagar was told in the desert by an angel of God that Ishmael was also going to be a great nation. So whatever God's purpose is, there's a purpose for Islam, for the Muslims, and there's a purpose for the Gentiles, and there's a purpose for the Jews.
Right.
They have to respect the faith and others' religion, because there's a purpose behind it.
Need to show respect, but you don't necessarily have to agree. But you don't, you know, want to sit there and argue with somebody, because to them, their faith is very serious, or should be very serious. Put it that way.
You know, a lot of people don't even realize this is how ignorant some people are. When you hear the word Allah, the first thing that comes to your mind is Muslim. But what people don't realize is, when they hear the word Allah, they're hearing the Middle East. They're hearing the name of God in the Middle East. My mother was Lebanese. She and her sister talked all the time on the phone. They were talking about Allah, but they were Catholics. They were Catholics talking about Allah. And if a stranger hears somebody talking about Allah now, the first thing they're going to say is, I asked the pastor one time. I went to I think it was a Pentecostal church. And I was talking, and they had a visiting pastor who was talking about the Muslims and their Allah. And at the end of the service, I said to him, do you know who Allah is? Oh, yeah, that's their Muslim. That's the Muslim, their Muslim God. I said, no, that's the same God you worship. The only thing is, in that language, the Arabic language, it's Allah is God. So we're worshiping the same God in a different way. We practice differently. A lot of people believe Jesus, they feel that Jesus was an awesome prophet like Muhammad. And we believe that Jesus was the Son of God, which we all are, children of God. But Jesus was the one that was the first one to be died and resurrected of all of us. He was the first one. We're all going to follow him, including, I'm sure, at some point in time, the Muslims. But people have to study. They have to really study and search and find the truth before they judge. Just like with prisoners, they have to search and find the truth before they judge. And the best way to find out about somebody being accused of something is to connect with them and to befriend them and to find out from them, the horse's mouth, as they say, rather than just judging.
Yeah, it's sad, but society, you know, sits and, you know, looks at people's past, and I know I don't like it. There's nights I can't sleep. I've gotten threatening phone calls, you know, and
those
you know, stuff like that, but
those
I can't let that affect me.
Those are the criminals, if they're sending threatening phone calls. I felt bad for Nancy Pelosi. Okay, so she had enemies in the opposite party, but her husband, because of what they did to her husband, she stepped down. I would never step down. That's ridiculous. But the problem is...
Yeah, none of that stuff should happen, even if you don't agree with people. You know, the Bible talks about praying for your leaders, even if you don't agree with them. Pray that they're going to do what's right for the nation.
You know, James, I'll tell you, when I talk about... you know, I tell people, go to the book of Revelations in chapter 12, and I hope you write this down because this explains why a lot of people stumble. In the book of Revelations, chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. In Revelations, the book of Revelations is from the beginning to the end. Satan was thrown out of heaven. He was a stubborn angel that was causing a lot of havoc. So he was thrown out of heaven, and his followers were thrown out with him. So that's Revelations 12, verses 7 to 12. And he ended up on the earth. He deceived Adam and Eve, causing all of us to be born into sin. And that's where all the sin comes from. Now, when Jesus was in this world, he was healing the possessed. Now, the possessed were not the ones that were thrown out of heaven. The possessed were the ones that were possessed by the ones that were thrown out of heaven. So we have two different spirits now. We have the evil spirits and we have the good spirits. We have the spirits that were good but were possessed for a moment. And after they committed their offense and ended up in prison or ended up dying or whatever the case may be, that evil spirit left them. So if people go to Revelation 12, verses 7 to 12, and if they go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about during the critical times right now that we're in, critical times hard to deal with. People are going to have cold hearts. They're going to be boastful. They're going to betray one another. Everything that's happening now is because we are in those final days. It talks about the signs of the time. Because the world is, the global warming is taking place, that's what is causing these tornadoes, these earthquakes, these floods to be extreme. Because the earth is at a point now where it's causing all these changes in people and in the environment. People have to look at these things. Because these are the signs that God talked about, the signs of the time before that end time, and everything that's happening. So when you talk about temptation, we're talking about the temptation that we're getting because of the evil spirits that were thrown out of heaven onto the earth. In chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, it says, woe to the earth when Satan was thrown onto the earth with his followers. Woe to the earth because Satan knows he has but a short time. It says in the Bible that one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. It talks about the number 3. Let's face it. The Christ Jesus was crucified. He was almost 2.5 years ago. Okay, we're heading for the third day. Although it's almost 3,000 years ago, we're heading for the third day. And in that time, God says in the book of Matthew, God says himself, according to Bible scriptures, that if he doesn't shorten the length of time, none of his elect will be saved. So the days are being shortened, and we see it all around us right now. The days are being shortened, and we see it in Ukraine. We see it in Russia. We see right now with Russia, China siding with Russia, North Korea siding with Russia. I'm sure Venezuela is siding with Russia. We got all these siding with Ukraine. We got all these other surrounding countries. These nations, it talks about all nations coming together for that great day of the Armageddon. So people need to get their acts together. They need to stop judging other people and look at themselves because they are going to be going before the makeup piece on.
Yeah, but it's going to be a sad day if people don't change their hearts and change their minds.
They don't believe it. They don't believe it's going to happen to them, but it's going to. It says it in 2 Peter chapter 3. It said people laughed at Noah when he was building an ark when there was no rain. There was no rain coming down. It was coming up from the ground. They laughed at Noah when he tried to talk about it, but it happened. And that's when God told them, it will never happen again. That's why the rainbow. The next point
it says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Actually, my faith, regardless, to whenever I speak, because my faith is very important to me. And it's kept me out of prison. It's kept me sane, and it helped me through all this been happening since the last year or so. I never had a problem until about a year ago.
Well, know this. Jesus is not God. And Jesus himself said he's not God. He said, no one knows the day nor the hour. It's not the angels nor the Son. Only the Father. Jesus has told everybody he is the Son of God. He is not God. And people seem to, they still want to believe that Jesus is the God himself. When Jesus was on the cross and he was talking to his Father, he wasn't talking to himself. When he was kneeling
right,
down,
first John,
when he was kneeling down, there, his face was sweating blood, and his disciples
right.
were falling asleep on him. What did he
right.
say? He said, Father, if this cup can be taken from me, he was praying to his Father. So when people say Jesus is the Son of God and God himself, that's not true, because God would not create people to have families, sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and all these things if he didn't. And he said in the very beginning, let us create man in our image. Let us create
right.
man. Jesus is not going to be talking to himself. He is the
That's
Son of
true.
God. God has put him in control of all things. In order to get to God, we have to go through Jesus. Can you take over on this?
Right. You know, I liked what you had to say. And that's one reason I really respect your show. You're not afraid to say what is the truth, even if somebody might get offended. I'm sure you're going to get complaints about me being on today. You know, people are just really so negative and hateful. We got to get our mind set on what is righteous, what is good, and what can we do to help people. When you get out of prison and you start harassing somebody right away, what are you doing? You're pushing them back into reoffending because they don't have time to adjust. The stress gets bad. I don't care if you're in for a sex crime, murder, drugs. You know, you're pushing these people, you know, instead of welcoming them and say, how can I help you? Shake their hand. That doesn't mean you have to invite them over, which I don't recommend myself. Not till you really get to know someone, but show some kindness. You know, kindness is better than hate, and it feels a lot better when you, you know, I know when I do, you know, am kind to somebody else, I feel better than if I'm mean to someone. And I got my flaws, too, but it would never be on judging someone. It would never be about a person's race. It might be what I see, you know, people committing once they get out. I have a problem with that because it really hurts everybody else if you go back to prison. I went back. I'll be the first person that admitted it. This was back in 93. But I have changed, and so many people have changed that came out, that come out. In Ohio, the recidivism rate's like at 19%. You know, that's the people that were sentenced before 96, because that's called the old law. The new, and they had, everyone has hit a parole board. Those after 96 got flat time. I would only got 3 years under the new law. That's how much difference the time is. So we need to be fair. We need to be kind to others.
Do you know, James, do you know that a lot of people in prison are people that went to prison because they lost loved ones through people that had so much anger in them that they made death threats and they felt followed through with them? A lot of people
yes.
don't realize a lot of people have committed crimes because they grew up without a father that was sent to prison, or because they lost a very close relative who gone to prison, a relative who
right.
may have died. They have people in society that talk about all of these incarcerated individuals as murderers and as sex offenders and as all these violent things, but yet they're doing the same thing. When they make death threats,
right.
they follow through with what they're threatening to do. They're murderers themselves. They're worse than some of the people that they're going after. Because if they can, look at, remember now recently, and it was so sad, the mass shootings and that teenager that got sentenced to, I don't know how many life sentences.
Right.
And when he sentenced, the families of the victims were talking. The judge let them say what they wanted to say. And one woman said, I hate you. I hope you die. I mean, all the things she was saying was showing that she is no different than he was, because she wanted to see him dead because of what he did. She doesn't know why he did it. Maybe he did it because he lost somebody. Who knows? But this is what I'm saying about people that they wish somebody dead. They wish somebody no good. No, I mean, how can they say that they hate this person and they want this person to die when they're doing the same thing? And if they had the opportunity, they probably would follow through with what they're doing.
Yeah. As some people might know that's listening, in 2020 died and they called my family to come to the hospital. I went in for a brain scan from a stroke and I was allergic to the contrast dye. It caused me to cold twice and have two strokes. I spent a half year in the hospital. Somebody the other day told some of my friends that they wish I would have died. And, you know, I would have been in peace. In a lot of peace. So it wouldn't have bothered me, but...
That person was a murderer, because it even says that in the Bible. If you even think something like that, then you too are a murderer. And I'm going to tell you, in my own situation, I have a loved one serving a life without parole for a first offense because he was lied to, he was deceived. And the person that did it, I had asked that person to be honest with me, to prepare him. And she lied to me. So there's two people now that should be serving a life sentence. The one that's serving it, who was stumbled by the one who could have prevented it. And it was her own family member. So these are the things that happen when you think you're being slick, when you think you can lie to somebody and laugh about it later, to let your friends know and your family know that you're doing this and you're doing that because you're getting away with it. And this person's looking like a fool and I can do this and say this to his mother. Somebody that welcomed her in their house. One fatal shot 30 years ago. A person that was innocent of all things, never involved with the law, never involved with drugs or alcohol. In his last year of college, and this so-called, whatever she wants to be called, thought it was funny that she was using somebody, abusing somebody, taking advantage of somebody, laughing about it, and lying to me. At the time I was a social worker, I could have prevented it. But to not know anything about it until the last minute. And that's why I say people have to reconsider their hatred. Because when they hate to the point where they want to see somebody dead, then they're the ones that are just as bad off. They're the ones that are causing a lot of people to stumble.
Yes, you're correct. I like what you said. And people need to hear the truth. Even if they, you know, don't agree, they still need to hear the truth. And maybe someday they will go by the truth. And
no,
go by love.
People like that don't change. People that have that kind of attitude are a part of the problem. I hate to say it, but they're part of the problem when they have that kind of hatred, especially when they have that kind of hatred based on something they're hearing from other people, something that they don't even know about personally. You know, a lot of people have hatred for people they have never even met in their lifetime. But if their friends talk about that person, they're quick to turn against that person as well. It happens right here in Massachusetts, even with advocates. Advocates that don't even know, they can get along with you. You can have a good rapport with them until they hear from one of their people in their clique something negative. We don't get along with everybody. Not all of us are going to have the same liking or disliking for people. So if I like you, I am interviewing you, but if I know you and I like you and somebody comes to me and says, don't associate with that person's no good, or that person did this to me or said this to me, and all of a sudden I'm going to turn against you when I don't even know you other than the conversations we've had, these advocates in Massachusetts I got along good with, very good with, and all of a sudden they're kind of like stone now because they're listening to the peers that they're most likely to be around all the time. And unfortunately, people are causing them to sin. They're causing them to sin because these people, when they go before God, he's going to want an explanation. Why do you turn against this person? So,
and, you know, that's the problem we have is people listen to others and they believe everything the news says, except when they talk about their loved ones, they say the news lied.
Yeah.
But then the news tells the truth on you. It's like double standards.
We have people that are very ignorant in this country. I hate to say it. I've been to 11 third world countries, and I'll tell you, I've never experienced the kind of attitude, insecurities, you know, that I have in this country. I haven't. This country needs help. It needs help. And all these other countries are showing good examples, but the United States, they want to look like the big bullies. And what it's doing is causing us so many enemies that we're at risk of being attacked domestically as well.
Hey, there's one thing I wanted to get back to, and I forgot to say it when we were talking about advocating, to hit up is our churches. Speak in your churches. Get churches and college students behind you. I just got Ohio State behind us. You know, so you can get college students and you can get church people to help out too. You know, so these are places we need to focus on, you know, as well as other people. But the churches are very important to our movement.
You know, my organization, I don't get funding, never did. I found a new vision organization in 2004, although some of my volunteers, when I stepped down, gave it a new tax exam. But anyway, one of the things that I've done throughout is I recruited volunteer law students, paralegals, social workers, criminal justice workers, psychologists that are all majoring in school and want to do work with nonprofits because they want the experience or they want to do their internships or whatever. So what you want to do, James, is you want to contact these universities across the country, and you want to let them know about your organization and ask them to let the students know, and also volunteermatch.com. Go and register, post for volunteers, whatever type of volunteers you're looking for, post for them. For the churches, I hate to say it, there are some. I'm going to be interviewing on December 8th, a Pastor Hobbs, David Basker, and also Ellie Pollard, and they are with Emancipated Initiative, and also a new program they just started through a 3-5 program. But there's a Reverend Hutchinson as well in Boston who is with doing things for the incarcerated. But there's a lot of people out there, just like the Pharisees in the Bible. There's a lot of pastors out there and priests out there that do nothing except preach, where they're going to get money on television. Prisoners can't afford them, so they don't go into the prisons to talk to these prisoners.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
You're correct.
They're, just like the Pharisees were, that's exactly what we have in the communities today, pastors and priests that are out there preaching to the right, so-called righteous. When Jesus came in with sandals, with nothing, nowhere to lay his head, and he was out there preaching to the very people these wealthy people were against. The poor, the poverty-stricken. He was a prisoner himself. He was beaten and tortured by the prison guards himself. This is the Christ Jesus. He didn't come into this world to judge the prisoners. He came into this world to save the sinners.
Yep.
But these people
preach
to the prisoners. This is it.
You're very correct.
Hypocrites, that's what we're dealing with.
Right. I mean, and advocates get burned out too after a while. I've been doing this now for 13 years. And, you know, you really get burned out, especially when you feel like everything is on your shoulders. That's why you really need to get help.
You know,
an organization, they get full board.
I was doing national work with New Vision Organization, and I started in 2004, but I've been advocating for 25 years now. And advocates, I network with across the country, and some of them started to refer prisoners to me to help. And that's when I started the Vision Organization. Now, I stepped down in 2014 because I was actually burnt out. And the person that took over, Bill Grigsby from Pennsylvania, messed the organization up. When Jordan Rosenberg, Daniel Sadler, and Anchor Jane, when they were my volunteers that took over the organization, when they didn't know what to do because Bill Grigsby put down that he was from Wernersville, Massachusetts, rather than Wernersville, Pennsylvania, and then he left shortly after that, and Bill Grigsby's name is on the internet for fraudulent activities with another nonprofit, the three that tried to resolve the issue couldn't do it because no one from Massachusetts was on the board or involved. Rather than tell me so I could take my organization back, they ended up registering it out in California under a new tax exempt. When I found out, the Secretary of State in Massachusetts helped me to get it back up. But the only thing is I decided to focus only on Massachusetts, only on first-time offenders serving life and life without parole, and those whose civil rights have been violated. So there's two New Vision organizations out there right now. There's the one that they stole from me, and there's the one that I got picked up again. But I'm not doing national anymore. But this is what I'm talking about with corruption. And these are so-called righteous that have done this. You know, these are so-called righteous that belong in prison themselves.
Right.
They will be looked at as the righteous because they're not in prison, but they have done something that's very criminal-like. If I wasn't the age that I'm at now, I would be fighting them to get the whole entire organization back again. But I don't care. And I don't care if people want to criticize me because that's how we learn. We learn through negative experiences as well as positive. We learn through criticism. And all these things that have taken place in society today, people are so afraid to lose friends. They're so afraid to be looked down upon. They're so afraid that they're going to look stupid when it doesn't matter because your stupidity is going to be uplifted into wisdom and perfection through the experiences. I encourage people. Today would have been a day where I encourage people all the time, come on the show, talk about any injustices that you have experienced or any injustices that a loved one may have experienced. Talk about anything, but talk. We live in a country where everybody doesn't want to talk except to their friends, except about others. They don't want to talk about something that they can make them useful, that can make things right again. They want to talk about anybody that they can gossip about. And nobody learns anything from that. No one.
That's sad, but you're correct on that. You know, we really need to educate people in our backyard. You know, whenever I'm in a store, I always talk to the person behind me. And I share with them what's happening in the prison system. I'm at church. I've spoke a few times to give them updates on what's happening. And I've gotten quite a bit of support. So we have a big job to do. And that let's educate people on the system. Nobody's going to want to help if they don't know what's wrong.
Exactly.
People think it's great. I thought it was great before I got locked up. Boy, did I learn wrong, learn a different way.
I know what you're saying because I like everybody else at one time, thought if people are behind prison walls, they must have did something terrible and they deserve to be. But, you know, that's not the situation at all because people have so many. And like I said, we have epidemics in this country of mental illnesses, addiction. And a lot of times people look at people that are addicted, they look at them as bad, but they don't realize there might be a story behind that. You know, there's a lot of people covering up pain, and the only way they can cover it up is through drugs or alcohol. But the thing is, when that wears off the next day, the pain is back there, so they have to start all over again. And
right.
That's what's painful. People don't understand. There's so many reasons why someone does something wrong. No one was born bad. No baby, child, adolescent, adult, young, old, or middle-aged, adult, man or woman, was born bad. So when these things happen, we have to understand. We have to try to figure out why. What caused them to stumble?
Right.
We don't have any role models. We have no role models in this country now. Even a lot of adults walking around with their pants down by their behind. These kids have no one to look to help them. And I saw on television one day there was a crime committed in Massachusetts, and this pastor was out there talking about these thugs. This is a pastor who should know better, talking about these thugs, instead of taking some of the money that he's getting from his church and starting some kind of thing for the youth, for the adolescents.
Right.
Softball games, baseball games, something, but just to talk about them being thugs coming from a godly person. That's why so many people are backing away from the churches. No role models.
And I found a church now that I really enjoy going to because it's diverse and we just serve Thanksgiving dinner to the inner city folks. They have a big spread once a week that's got produce cakes, you know, sometimes meat, and they give as much away that somebody wants. You know, that's, you know, we need to show more compassion towards people, especially our youth, because our youth are the ones that could end up in prison. Our prison system is getting to be younger and younger. So there's a big job to do, and it, you know, like I said, it takes everybody to be on the same page to help others.
Exactly. And I want to say one
maybe
thing
a
more
different cause.
For you, for organizations like yours and others, researching, I don't even need to go to the library. No one needs to go to a library anymore. Go on the internet. You want food, clothing, you type in free clothing or free food for individuals in, say, Ohio, or free financial aid or financial assistance for nonprofits in Ohio or Texas or Florida, freebies for people, individuals in whatever state you're in, pro bono lawyers in whatever state you're in, free cars, free automobiles. People don't realize all you need to do is type it in an internet browser, whatever you are looking for. Just type it in the browser. You don't have to do www. You don't have to do HTTP. Just type in whatever you are looking for. But always put the word free before it or pro bono before it. Always put the name of your state or the name of your town. There's so many things out there available to the public. There's so many things. I have on my website, recycles.org. Recycles.org, you can register your organization with recycles.org. And what they do is when anybody is donating, any businesses, people going out of business, I furnished my whole office back in 2006 in Brockton, Massachusetts, furnished my whole office with computers, with professional scanners, with printers, with office chairs, with office dividers. And the people that were donating, he had his own accounting business. He was going out of business. And what they do, recycles.org, when they get these notices, they will send it out to everyone. They have them in every state. They will send them out. And if anybody's interested, put in for it. And if the people donating accept it and do it, well, this accountant not only donated all this was thousands of dollars worth of equipment, but he also contacted his brother in New Hampshire. And his brother came all the way from New Hampshire to Mass. And the two of them delivered all of this truck, delivered it to the office. So there is, and it's, everything was practically brand new. This is why I'm saying when organizations say they don't have the manpower or they don't have the funds that to do what they're supposed to do, then it's a crock of bull. Because God always makes a way for us to receive in order to be able to help others. When I closed the office down, I let the volunteers take anything they wanted. Whatever was left over, there were other offices in the building. And I let those people pick out whatever they wanted because I had no place to put it. I had no place to take it. So that's why I say, right. Pete, you want to, if anybody wants to help out in any way, go on the website, on the internet, and type in legislative members for criminal justice reform or politicians for prison reform in whatever state you're in and make the calls. Talk to them. Let them know what you want them to do to help. There's a lot of resources out there. And when you get these resources, don't just keep them within yourself. Share them on Facebook. Let it go viral because there's always somebody out there in whatever groups that are going to be able to use some of your resources that you are sharing with them.
Right. In Ohio, I know there's several groups. There's one called Join that will help you with rent one time, bus passes to look for employment. We can't afford to buy the bus passes unless we would. They don't give us any for free. I would love to get 20 or 30 and pass them out to those that are looking for work. You know, maybe someday we will be able to buy some.
There's also traveler's aid. Traveler's aid will get people from one destination to another. If they're stranded in, say, Ohio and they're from California or Florida or Texas or whatever, Traveler's Aid will help them in that too. The transportation.
Right. Yep.
As far as what you're doing, you're with the holiday thing, there are philanthropists out there that people can type in philanthropists for nonprofits or for organizations helping with holiday cards or whatever. You'd be surprised because there's resources even with things like that.
Right.
Help distributing cards in Ohio or help with funding for Christmas postage or cards in Ohio or Texas or Florida, wherever. Just
right. And if people have names and numbers and addresses of prisoners, mail it to OhioCure@gmail.com. We'll put them on the list. We can't guarantee that we'll be able to do everyone, but we're going to do our best.
And you want to post it on Facebook and to the groups too.
Yeah, you're right. I've done it to some of the, careful how many names we get. We're going to try to keep it at 300 or so to make sure we have enough postage. If we get more than that, I might have to ask other people to send cards as well from their home. But I want to make sure everybody gets a card that we get the name and numbers for. I wish I could send it to every inmate. But you're talking about over 2 million nationwide.
No. There are other groups, though, that are doing the same thing on Facebook. There are other groups that are sending cards and get postage and things like that to the incarcerated individuals. I also wanted to let you know that years ago, I registered my organization with FedEx and also with the United States Postal Service, and I was approved. However, I never used it because you have to put the mail in like almost like shoe boxes according to the zip codes in the towns or the states.
Yeah, that's what we had to do with here.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have the nonprofit postage and FedEx account, but if you don't, that might be something you might want to check into as well.
Yeah. We probably only need the post office one. We had it with the Ohio Cure when I was president, but after I left, he kind of folded it up, and we're just bringing it back now, and I'm trying to get good people to run it, people that are reliable and dedicated to our cause. So, and the number one goal right now is to do away with life without parole.
Exactly.
In Ohio. And we have a chat there that we added you to, Life Without Parole chat. And each state might be a little bit different, but Life Without Parole would be just about the same in every state. You have to contact your legislators and bug them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
Life Without Parole, it's really sad because every state is different in the way they operate, but the problems in every state are the same. And this is why I cannot understand why this can't be decided federally as well as the federal prisoners, because by state every governor is different, but the problems are the same, and every situation changes, and that's to me that's the dysfunction I talk about in this country, because we should be consistent in every state. The laws should remain the same in every state, not varying the way it does.
You're right on that. So I don't know how many states still do life without parole.
Pennsylvania.
Quite a few of them.
Pennsylvania has life. They don't have life without parole, but what I understand from the incarcerated in Pennsylvania is that life in Pennsylvania means life. And
they do have life without parole there.
Well, that's what I mean.
One of the
life.
People in that group, son's got life without parole. And that's
right.
In
they
Pennsylvania.
Don't call- They don't call it life without parole, though. They just call it life, but it means life without parole, because what the incarcerated are saying is when you get life in Pennsylvania, you don't get parole at all.
Huh.
One of the governors that I have a lot of respect for, and that is Governor Newsom out of California. Governor Newsom is so fair, and he's released a lot of people from prison in this past year. And I remember somebody on Facebook one time saying that they didn't like their governor, Governor Newsom. And I said, he's the one governor in the whole country that should be respected because he is fair. And unfortunately, not every governor across the board.
It's not to me that I fear like that. No, I heard the same thing about the governor of California.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
I wish others were the same way.
We need other governors like him. And, you know, like I say, on December 1st, I'm going to be interviewing Brian Winters. And Brian Winters has founded an American Union. And he used to be a legislative member. He was a politician. And he stepped down. We're hearing a lot of distraction in the background. Brian Winters stepped down as a politician and founded an American Union. And American Union is not, they don't side with either politicians. They don't side with Democrats or Republicans. They side with whomever is for the cause. And whatever the cause may be, incarceration is one of them. So Brian Winters I'll be interviewing him on the 1st of December.
Good. I'd love to see some of these federal governors on your show, but I don't know how many of them, I mean, not governors, congressmen, people that you could get on and try to convince them, you know, about, you know, our people.
You know what I like? In Massachusetts, we have the ones that are for criminal justice reform is Jamie Eldridge, uh-huh. Senator Jamie Eldridge, Senator William Brownsberger, State Representative Mary Keith, State Representative Liz Miranda, Sonia Chang-Diaz, Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz, Jay Livingston, State Rep, or Senator Jay Livingston. So we have a set amount of people that we know of that's actually trying for criminal justice reform, prison reform. That's why I say people in other states need to make some contact and try to find out who in their states is for changes in penal system, who is for reform.
I agree with you on that. And you're going to find in each state there's some that do support it, but nobody's ever gone to them to try to get something changed.
Yeah, that's it, too.
And that's like in Ohio, you have to really talk to the Republicans because they're controlled by Republicans. You know, so don't bash them. Try to get them to see things your way. And you may get somebody to change their opinion.
Well, you know, we do have politicians, too, that have contacted the prison officials, and they have received complaints about abuses going on there, and they have been lied to. And this is something that I feel really upset with, is because these are legislative members who have power, and they don't realize the power that they carry with their titles. And they will contact the DOC, Department of Corrections Commissioners, and they will be lied to or they will be talked to as though they were just anybody. And they let it go with them. They don't challenge them. And that's what's so sad, because we have people in political areas that should be getting the utmost respect from the Department of Corrections around the country. And when they let the Department of Corrections start lying to them and walking over them, then there's no use in them being even in politics. There's no use.
Right. You're correct on that.
And the union, the God's union, is so powerful that they feel that the union is behind them, so they can talk to these legislative members that way.
Right. Talk to anybody that might listen to you.
Yeah, really.
You know, and educate them. Our legislators, when they first take office, they may know nothing about the prison system. I suggest every legislator go and visit a prison, walk through, and quit locking the prisoners up. Let them talk to the legislators. You know, so that they could see what's happening.
This is what happened. Like, Prison Illegal Services one time sent a paralegal to meet with the client. The client was pleading for help, and he was talking about the COs and the prison officials. Prison Illegal Services sent a paralegal to go and meet with this incarcerated individual. When the paralegal got there, the guards told her that the prisoner didn't want to have any visits with anybody. Instead of her saying, well, I'm here from Prisoner Legal Services. I'm here because the client did want to see me. I would like to hear from the client himself that he doesn't want to visit. Instead of doing that, she left. She left, and they never went back. She never went back. To this day, that incarcerated individual is still fighting to have somebody go in there and meet with them. And this was 5 years ago. So what kind of law firm or legal advocates or lawyers are going to do something that ridiculously stupid?
Yeah, I'm sure quite a few of them.
Jeez. But anyway, James, 3.5 minutes. So if you want to give the audience one time, last time, all the information that they will need to contact you to help in some way.
Okay. This Saturday from, I think it starts at 1 till really whenever, we're doing a Christmas card signing for prisoners. If you got a loved one that you would like to send a card to, please give us a name, number, and address. You can email me at OhioCure, that's OhioCure, at gmail.com, and we'll do our best. If you'd like to donate stamps, you could do it to my Cash App, which is $James Cronin, K-R-O-N-E-N. The money will be used, whatever's left over for, you know, other promotional stuff for our conference, because they're going to have to pay for food and stuff. So, and if you like a mail stamp, you could do it at 1141 Oakwood Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, 43206. Remember, everybody, it's much better to support our folks than putting people down. They need good mentors, and really our country has fallen away from people being good mentors. Men, share your time with some of these prisoners. Women, you do the same to women. You know, it takes all of us to unite for change. Without change, everything will stay the same.
James, I want to thank you for coming on, and I hope that this Christmas people will have an attitude to forgive. To forgive, to help, and to try to make positive changes. I want to thank you for sharing. I want to thank you for sharing your story with us, James, because it takes a lot. It takes a person, not only a godly person, but it takes a strong person to talk about what they had done and what they did to serve, and coming out and doing what you're doing.
I appreciate you and your show, because you're really getting people to think and make changes.
We really need to. And I tell you, people make mistakes, no matter how serious, no matter how mild. People make mistakes. And if anybody wants to judge them, that's one thing. But when they get to the point where they want to make death threats and do all these evil things, they're just as criminal-like. They cannot judge somebody if they have so much life. But I thank you so much for coming. And I know that what you're doing is good. We don't care what other people think. We care what God thinks, okay? So you have a nice holiday, and I wish you success in the event that you're planning, the activities, and I truly appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have you back on, if not before the holiday, after.
Oh, thank you, and you have a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, too.
Thank you. And you're doing good for someone that had a stroke. You really are.
I'm working on it.
Okay, you take care. And audience, we are now going to be ending this episode. I thank you all for listening in. I wish you all a happy holiday. And I hope and pray that you will have gotten something out of this interview that we had today with James Cronenberg.